You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Ripon and Kempton in the afternoon. We've got Leicester and Wolverhampton on Tuesday evening on the domestic front, and there's racing over in Ireland as well on Tuesday night from Tipperary. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark, and much looking forward to York, and it's been an interesting weekend.
It has indeed. Anything catch your eye from the weekend, John, in particular?
Well, Ribchester, I thought, was absolutely splendid. I wanted him to win. I thought he had a great chance in the Prix Marois, and I think the straight galloping track played into his hands. He deserved to score and get his revenge on Galileo Gold, and I thought he did it really well, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Richard Fahey campaigns him for the rest of the autumn.
Yeah, Ribchester looks to be definitely an improving horse towards the back end of the season. What happened with Galileo Gold, John? Ended up about 8th place in the end.
Yeah, he saw a lot of daylight. Of course, that hasn't been a problem in the past, in that quite often Frankie has taken him to the front and he's happily waltzed away. I think he was feeling the effect of what's been a pretty hard campaign for him. You know, he won the Guineas back in the early part of the season and he's been at it ever since. The straight galloping mile in France, you just find him out.
So that was a big race in France. We also had some British success over in the States as well. Mondial East winning the Arlington Million for the all-conquering, it seems. David O'Mara, he's running out of big races to win, isn't he?
The man with the magic wand. Mondelise is a very, very decent horse. You know, not quite absolutely champion class, but in that kind of thing, is very difficult to beat. And I just get the impression that David O'Mara's team are coming, you know, well, they have been coming to the top of the cream over the past month, and it wasn't a great surprise, but jolly well done to him.
Yes, big prize there for David O'Mara and his team. You mentioned that York's coming up, John. The Monday jury has several questions relating to the Ebor meeting at York, so we'll get stuck into that before we get John's thoughts for Tuesday's racing. And the first question of this week's Monday jury, John, would you be a backer or a layer of postponed in the Judmont International at, current odds, 11-8 here with William Hill?
Yes, I would be a backer. I think he'll drift in the market, assuming that he gets there. I think he'll drift for two reasons. One, that he's coming back in trip, which is a little bit of a problem. Two, of course, he's faced with some very decent horses, like Hawk Bill, for example. Three, there is a suggestion that Roger Varian's horses have not been quite at their best over the past fortnight or so, although he did have a good winner over the weekend. Now, I think he'll drift, and on that score, I will be a backer rather than a layer, because I do think he's the best horse in the race, and I also have great faith in Roger Varian that he would not be sending the horse for the Judd Monty if he didn't think he was exactly 100% fit.
Yeah, and signs over the weekend, as you mentioned, John, that the Varian team, well, they may have had a sticky couple of weeks or so. Looks like they've turned the corner, or starting to turn the corner at least.
Well, I thought it might well be. You know, they haven't had a great deal of activity, not an enormous line of runners. They've been quiet, obviously, but they did have a good winner over the weekend. And, it's the faith in the trainer that he would not think of sending a horse like Postponed to a big race at York if he didn't think the horse was really fit to do himself justice.
Yeah, so Postponed then. John will be a backer, 11-8 at the top of the market at the moment. Hawkbill, 9-2 as a record this. Highland Reel, 11-2. 12-1 for Mutter KF. The Grey Gatsby and Wings of Desire are both 14-1. And it's 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. We've got that to look forward to on Wednesday, of course. Who do you fancy in the Nunthorpe, John?
Well, everything depends a bit on the ground. I gather, as we speak, the ground is good to firm, that kind of state. Were it to rain, then things would be completely different. Were it to rain, I would definitely be on Mecca's Angel. If it is good to firm, I have my doubts whether Mecca's Angel will run. But if conditions are all right, and they decide to go, I will be a Mecca's Angel man. If it remains good to firm, or even faster, then I think Henry Candy's horse has got a really good chance, Limato. But there is a slight worry that coming back to five may in fact, not be altogether favourable for Limato. So I'm a Mecca's Angel supporter in the Nunthorpe. If it is firm, Limato has a choice, and perhaps the value is Yalta, who really did absolutely blitz up at Goodwood for Mark Johnston, when actually he didn't really think that the horse was a 5-furlong sprinter. Mm. And it was James McDonald, I think, the Australian jockey who had ridden him the time before, said, I think you ought to bring this horse back to 5 furlongs. And he did, and Yalta absolutely hacked up.
Yeah, did the trick. Limato 3-1 at the top of the betting at the moment. Profitable 4-1, 5-1 for Mecca's Angel. Yalta is 8, 11-1 for Eastern Angel. Gold Dream 12-1, 14s or bigger for the others.
Just one point about there, Mark, very quickly. If Mecca's Angel didn't run, Eastern Angel almost certainly would run. And Eastern Angel is a very decent horse.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good renewal, isn't it, of the Nunthorpe this year? I think there's well, usually is anyway, but there's many in with chances.
Definitely, so. But I do think the ground is all important.
Yes, yes. So we'll keep an eye on that. Currently, good to firm as we record this at York, and the weather outside in Yorkshire is pretty dry and warm. So unless there's a downpour, I can't see that changing too much at the moment. You can have two picks in the Ebor, John. What do you go with?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for a double S in the Ebor. I thought it was an ideal opportunity for Seymour to actually regain some happiness for Brian Ellison. You know, when you looked at his face and Seymour actually got beat in the Northumberland Plate, you thought to yourself, oh, he'll never recover, because he looked absolutely certain that he'd won the one race that he wanted to win all his training career, when Seymour broke into the lead about a furlong and a half out and went 3 or 4 lengths clear, and then he was mugged, of course, by Antiquarian, who is in the race again on Saturday and could easily do the same thing. But he's coming back to a slightly shorter trip, Seymour. I don't think he quite lasted out the full 2 miles at Newcastle, and I thought this would be ideal for him. And the stable, Brian Ellison's stable, have done well in the Ebor before now, so he will be my first selection, the first S. The second one is an outsider, although I did notice that one of the Monday jury had actually quoted a possibility for this horse, and it is Shrewd, Ian Jardine's runner. Now, this horse is very versatile, Shrewd. He's a good hurdler, but he's done extremely well in handicaps this year. And I watched him run last time out at York, where he basically didn't seem to have a chance against some very classy opposition. And he ran remarkably well. He made a lot of ground in the closing stages and was only beaten about 5 lengths. And I said at the time, if they put Shrewd into the Ebor, he'll have to be there with a chance. So, two S's, Seymour and Shrewd.
OK, good stuff, John. Yeah, it's John Mackey in the Racing Post Monday jury that agrees with you there about Shrewd. So, interesting. Could be a bit of a bigger price one to consider there at York. Rather open question next, John. Give us a horse or two to follow.
Yes. Well, there are two horses in my tracker, although I don't have a tracker. But just in my sort of mind. I think Dancing Star was absolutely outstanding in the Stewards' Cup. Beautifully bred. There are a lot of really good classy sprints coming up in the autumn. And Andrew Balding is certain to place this filly to the right destination. And wherever Dancing Star goes, whether it is the Sprint Cup at Haydock or the Champions Day Sprint at on Champions Day at the end, I will be supporting Dancing Star because I thought he was a really good winner. And he can only improve on that. And the other horse, of course, is the one I've been waiting for all year. I used to call it just Blofeld. At the beginning of the season, I was asked, did I have a two-year-old to follow during the... I said, yes, Martin Mead's got a two-year-old called Blofeld. It's going to go really well. Well, it was halfway through the summer before I suddenly realised it was actually Ernst Stavros Blofeld.
Yeah.
And I waited and waited and finally... It ran at Yarmouth about a fortnight ago. In the Racing Post, it was quoted at double figures, 14 to 1. I napped it thinking to myself, well, it can't be less than 5 to 1. Lo and behold, it was 6 to 4. But it did win. It won well. And he's got lots of good two-year-old entries towards the end of the season. I think he'll run at Newmarket in one or two of those good races at the end of the year. And the obviously is useful horse, Ernst Stavros Blofeld.
Very good. I'll throw one into the mix here, John, as well. Me and you were in the studio together on Saturday, and Luca Comani sent out a Frankel filly called Al Jazeera, who made her debut over a mile, and I thought she was very impressive on debut there, and I think she's got real scope for... to go on to good things.
She was very impressive, wasn't she? Yeah. I thought she would win, and the great Trudy of the racing studio, Rolly De Laghi, was just a little bit questionable about it before the race, saying, you know, I think it's possible that this horse is being supported because of Luca Cumani's name and reputation, but... However, there was no but. You're quite right. He won really well.
Yeah. Which trainers and jockeys are impressing you this season, John?
Ah, well, the trainer's got to be Ian Jardine, Scobie Jardine, who's now, of course, training from the same quarters as Lenny Lungo. He's quite remarkable, really. He's got a whole series of fairly modest horses, which he's done remarkably well with. And when he gets a good horse, like Nakita or Shrewd, you know, he shows he's perfectly capable of placing him to win in good company. So Ian Jardine, the trainer. And the jockey, well, I have to go with a former friend of the studio. I think Paul Mulrennan has been outstanding during the summer. You know, and I'm very delighted to see that he's getting now bookings from really big trainers in Newmarket. He's not just on the Northern Circuit. But if you wanted a jockey who is consistent throughout, you know, Paul Mulrennan has to be near the top of the list. And he is my current star jockey.
Final question, John. What would you write in a card congratulating Frankie Dettori on 3,000 winners?
I would go, well done, Frankie, on the 3,000. But remember, life begins at 50, not 40. So whatever you do, do not think of giving up until you're well over the half century.
Very good. Well, that's the Monday Jory for another week then. The thoughts of Lord Budden there. We're going to get his selections for Tuesday next. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Tuesday's racing, then we're going to look at some of the racing at Ripon, Leicester and Wolverhampton. We start at Ripon in there 4 o'clock, and this is the City of Ripon Stakes, which is a handicap, a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 6 to go to post here, John, and I suppose Cote d'Azur is going to attract quite a bit of attention given that he arrives here on the back of a hat-trick.
Yes, absolutely, and it could go very close. I think this is a tidy little race, although there are only 6 runners, and I may be going out a little bit on a limb here, but going down from the top, Silvery Moon. I like Silvery Moon. He's a lovely grey horse, but he won the Carlisle Bell about 2-3 years ago, but he's not great stuff. He's won his race, and he's at the top of the weight, so I thought he'd be difficult to win this. A final has got a chance for Mark Johnston. His horse is in really tremendous shape. Remarkable July he had, and they're still coming in August. Twice the winner at Beverley, and last time just beaten at Beverley. Has to be considered here at Ripon. Then we have Côte d'Azur for Lézard, the winner at Bath, also an apprentice race at York. Has to have a major chance and be on the short list. But the two I like are near the bottom. Green Howard is the first. Now, quite what Rebecca Basterman's doing with Green Howard, I don't know, because he's always been a horse who's shown his best form over 7 furlongs. But the stable are determined to run him over a mile and 10 furlongs. He actually ran pretty well when finishing fourth over 10 furlongs last time. Got no sort of a run previously at Ripon over a slightly shorter trip when he was hampered and right on the inside. But he is a horse who looks as though he's coming back to form, and the trainer knows better than Budden. So the fact that they're going for the distance is probably a plus. So I think Green Howard to go well, but I've got to go for the one at the bottom, three-year-old Pure Fantasy. Roger Charlton up here at Ripon is not a frequent raider, and I thought this three-year-old went remarkably well at Foss Lass last time out. I thought Swashbuckle would definitely win that race, did so, but only just, and Pure Fantasy was a good second. So Pure Fantasy is the choice.
Pure Fantasy, the selection for Lord Budden, then in the 4 o'clock at Ripon. Staying at Ripon next for the 4:30. This one is a class 5 handicap over a mile. This one's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 8 to go to post here. John, we'll start with Tadani, if we may. Arrives here on the back of a success 8 days ago. Has a penalty to defy for that. But David O'Mara, Danny Tudhope, in good form, as we've mentioned. Is Tadani on your shortlist?
Yeah, very much so. I think Ted Arne will win. He is, in fact, my choice here. He's carrying 10 stone 4. Some people will say, well, I don't, of course, it would be silly. He can't possibly win a handicap over 10 stone 4. But David O'Mara is no fool. I keep trying to call him David O'Mara, but I must be educated to call him David O'Mara. And as we see, he's just won the Arlington Million over the weekend. His horse is in great shape. Danny Tudhope is a jockey that, you know, I really do follow through thick and thin. And it was a good win that day. Beat one of Richard Fahey's character onesie and one or two other quite decent handicappers. So he's going to be the choice. What to possibly embarrass? Well, Venusius has run pretty well for Ed McMahon, second last time out. Cabal has been running well for Jeff Harker throughout the summer. Hasn't won for a while, but is getting down to a decent mark. I think possibly the one who might give the top weight most to worry is Relight My Fire, who ran quite well in the ladies' only race behind Swiss Late last time out, and it looks as though he's coming down to a mark that surely he must win again fairly soon on. But I'm with the top one, Tadani.
Tadani then for Lord Budden there in the 4:30 at Ripon. Moving to Leicester next for their 6:40. This one is a class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. Again, we've got 3-year-olds and older in action here. 9 runners to go to post. John, and I thought this was quite an open race. What did you like in there?
It's very open. Some would say almost a minefield, Mark. I think Ballymore Castle's worthwhile mentioning. He got completely phased and out of it in the Constellation Stewards Cup race at Goodwood most recently, but has run quite well in this sort of company. And I'm a great follower of the jockey Adam McNamara claiming 5. So, you know, top weight not out of it. Explain is interesting for Ruth Carr. She's marvellous at keeping these horses going, you know. Explain's had plenty of runs. He's been placed on a number of occasions. Was third at Haydock last time out. And there is, in fact, a connection between Explain and the horse I'm going to go for. The two I like are near the bottom. Reputation is one of them. I thought Reputation would win at Newmarket, which is now about 3 or 4 outings ago, when he finished in the end 7th behind Dutch Law. Far too keen on that occasion. Ran very fast during the first sort of 2 furlongs. Had no energy left for it at the end. Since then, he has actually run really quite decently. He was 3rd penultimately and ran 5th in a good race, good last time out. So Reputation could go well, particularly if restrained a bit early on. But my choice will be Mississippian, who I think has nicely handicapped, ready to win. Paul Midgley's horse ran well last time out, 3rd at Redcar, and he was just behind Explain. And I thought there was a much improved performance, and if Mississippian can just progress a bit, then he must go close here.
Okay, Mississippi then for Lord Budden. in that one. And we finish off in the 7:30 at Wolverhampton, class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. 3-year-olds and older in action here, 8 of them to go to post. And I kind of thought this might be between Blenheim Warrior and Mayasa on recent form, John, but what did you make of it?
Well, I entirely agree with you, Mark. I mean, there are lurking a number of real sort of old Wolverhampton performers who haven't really done much during the last month or two. Charlie Bear is one of those, and also Patriotic, who's, you know, is always about the place but doesn't win very often. And there's also Salmon Shushi, who, you know, has got plenty of places to his name. But I thought it was between Blenheim Warrior and Mayasa. I thought Blenheim Warrior went pretty well when the second at Force last time out. And Urban Space was the horse who just beat him. He had previously been a winner at Salisbury. He's got to be hard to beat, Blenheim Warrior. But I'm going to go for Mayasa. James Tate's horse is in very decent form. Martin Harley, ditto in the saddle. I thought the win over Ishara with Marshall Aid in third was pretty useful. And a decent fifth of 12 at Lingfield behind Frozen Force before that. So Mayasa just gets the vote.
Mayasa then the selection for Lord Budden in the 7:30 at Wolverhampton. As usual, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you wouldn't mind, before you go. Just spin us through your selections then for Tuesday.
Well, we start with the 4 o'clock at Ripon, and Pure Fantasy, the 3-year-old at the bottom, is the choice there. Then in the 4:30, it's the other way round. The one at the very top, I thought it got a definite chance, Tad Arney for David O'Mara. Off then to Leicester for the 6:40. And here, I thought it was between Reputation and Mississippian. Mississippian was the choice. And in the 7:30 at Wolverhampton, we go for Mayasa.
Superb. Good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So you got the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott. The team in the studio, Ripon and Kempton, are the afternoon meetings. Leicester and Wolverhampton in the evening. And an evening card over in Ireland as well from Tipperary. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.